Who's ready to ride the rides? The Queen City X has arrived, and Kathleen Becker is here with everything you need to know. And Kat, the Midway West Coast Amusements has set up and ready to open up at noon. It feels a little different this year.
I think it is going to look and feel a little bit different. You know, there's a really nice energy that West Coast Amusement brings to all of their events. And so I think that, you know, for guests walking onto the fairgrounds, it's going to feel a little bit brighter. The music is maybe going to be a little more twinkly. You know, it's going to have a nice family vibe to it.
West Coast Amusements is a Canadian company. My goodness, everything about this fair seems Canadian, including who's on stage tonight.
We are all Canadian this year. So tonight we are so excited to have Blue Rodeo performing, and it's going to be such a phenomenal show. It's included with your admission. There's no extra charge. Just come on down to Confederation Park and watch the great show.
Is there an opening act for that show tonight?
No opening act. There'll be a DJ on stage, okay. But a little bit of a DJ, and then we go straight into Blue Rodeo. They're going to take the stage at 8:30.
And tomorrow night?
So tomorrow night we have the Recklaws. Friday we have the Glorious Sons. Saturday is the Sam Roberts Band, and Sunday we close things out with Biff Naked opening up for Kim Mitchell, followed by the fireworks.
Just got a text here at 1-877-300-7275 asking, will all the rides be open today at noon? Well, that's a question. I know there are safety checks.
Yes.
And what do you say to someone asking that?
You know, our team, not only our team, but they're like the Provincial Technical Safety Inspection Organization have been working really closely together so that they do kind of a preliminary check before the rides even get on site so that the whole operation moves a lot faster, moves a lot smoother. Plus, we've actually gained an extra day for setup. So we are feeling really, really confident that everything's going to be 100% open. Of course, something breaks, that, you know, there's always the unavoidables, but it's going to be a really good setup.
Kathleen Becker is my guest here. We're talking about the Queen City X finally back in town. This is an event that a lot of kids count down to. So
yes.
Let's talk fair food.
Oh my gosh, there are so many phenomenal fair foods. So, I mean, you're going to find all the classics that you love, your mini donuts, your turkey legs, you know, your corn dogs. But of course, there's all those like fun new twists. So we've got a lot of great poutines happening this year. There's a buffalo chicken poutine. We've got this really funky monstrosity of a mizza matzo corn dog. It's like one part pizza, one part meatball, one part hot dog. It's crazy. Ube coconut mini donuts. And the big one this year, the office is absolutely buzzing about Dubai chocolate covered strawberries.
Mm.
It's basically fruit salad. So we're just going to go get our chocolate covered strawberries for breakfast, and then the day's good to go.
Queen City X is on today, opens up at noon, goes till midnight nightly. What's the biggest change, you think?
You know, we've done a lot to try and rebuild some of those community connections. So, you know, bringing back the Classic Strongman Championship League for the Saskatchewan Strongest Man competition. We've partnered with Kings Park Speedway this year, along with Sask Drift. So they're going to be doing some really phenomenal showcases. Our historical committee, which we absolutely love our historical committee doing Memory Lane. You know, we're just really trying to get back into the community and bring them along with us.
What's the best deal to get in the fair tonight with your family?
So best deal to get through the gate, we're going to hold the price on that family pack. So you can get four general admissions for $60. So it is $15 per person. It is a great, great deal. Grab three friends. Come on down.
How many rides does West Coast bring?
They're bringing over 40 rides.
Awesome. It's going to be fun. Queen City X is here. Kathleen, I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
Whenever I hear the song, I flash back to when I was probably in high school and at the Midway. My favorite ride was known as the Holiday Bounce, which was kind of like the spinning teacups at Disneyland, only the whole platform the cups were sitting on would also lift up and down to the music and go on an angle. That was just crazy fun. That was one of my favorite rides growing up. That and the USS Enterprise. How about you? You got a favorite ride? 1-877-300-7275. Tomorrow on the show, Mayor Chad Baczynski will be here. You'll always hear him after the 6:30 news, and I always invite you to listen again at 7:32 after the news there. It's been 3 months since Regina City Manager Nikki Anderson took a leave of absence, and Mayor Chad Baczynski set to give an update, according to the agenda on council today, about where we are with that. Anderson has been on leave since April 29th for what was called then a personal matter, and the next day, our chief of staff, a couple of others, were terminated by the city. And since then, Jim Nickel, the city clerk, has been acting city manager. But it's on the docket today. We'll see if we get any more information on that. And they're still going to talk about moving forward, how to move forward with the aquatic facility here that's $40 million more. than last projected. And on the heels of today's council meeting, again, Mayor Chad Buczynski with me in studio tomorrow to go over all of this here. Still waiting. Pretty quick here. The Bank of Canada will announce whether or not they're going to hold or cut the latest trend-setting interest rate. A lot of economists expect it's just going to hold at 2.75% based on some pretty strong June job numbers. And they're still kind of, you know, waiting for clarity on the economy, right, with this whole tariff conversation. But we'll let you know just as soon as we get that any minute now. Prime Minister Mark Carney expected to meet virtually today with his cabinet to discuss the state of trade negotiations with the U.S. Now, Trump even using Truth Social today, saying August 1st is the deadline. No doubt about it. But we have heard even U.S. Trade Minister Dominic LeBlanc for Canada, who's in Washington meeting with American officials, has said himself we're at a rather intense stage right now in the negotiations, and even alluded to the fact that it might go past August 1st. But Trump said that's the deadline today on Truth Social. The Riders back to practice again today. They're preparing for the Alouettes. Yesterday, there was no C.J. Revis or Sam Emelis. We're going to talk to Britton Gray after 8 o'clock here about what he saw and what he might know about injuries. I know Jamie Nye in his commentary today has been forecasting a Rider loss this weekend. He's concerned about all the injuries right now. The Riders haven't won in Montreal either since 2021. And hoping to change that this Saturday at 5 o'clock. Green Zone pregame show will be at 3 o'clock, of course, here. And Britton Gray did ask yesterday, because Jamie is all against doing the wave when the offense is out. So Britton, you know, threw that question to quarterback Trevor Harris, and here's what he said.
Fans can do the wave while you guys in offense.
Heck yeah.
Throw you off.
Heck yeah. But if we do this, I mean, bring the noise down.
Bring the noise down. If we do this, he was using his hands to as a gesture to say, okay, quiet down. But that's not how Jamie feels. He shouldn't do it at all when the offense is on. It's a topic that'll be broached again, I'm sure, today on the Green Zone.
Come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny because we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars.
One of the rides at the Midway is called Rockstar. Callie Howie on my CJMB Morning Show Facebook page said, Greg, USS Enterprise, one of my favorites growing up too. Ended up being my favorite ride once I conquered my fear of wanting to try it out. A lot of people believe the mega drop or the drop of doom. It's called several things, but the super shot is what West Coast Amusements calls it. That's that one where it takes you up the pole and, you know, dares to drop you and you're not expecting it to drop. Then it suddenly drops. That's one I had to conquer my fear over. And when you get up to the top, you realize great view and the drop really doesn't seem that bad anyhow. Joining me now, CJME rider reporter Britton Gray, who I suspect will go to the exhibition and ride his favorite ride. Go ahead, Britton. Tell me what it is.
Always been a fan of the Polar Express ride.
Yes.
Came every year.
And are you very careful to get on the ride knowing which way someone is going to get crushed because of the way it goes around and around?
Always have to take that into account, taking every factor.
Attaboy. Well, hey, look, yesterday you showed up at the rider practice, and even you were pretty awestruck with who wasn't there. So what's the deal? What's going on?
Yeah, a lot of players were sitting out day one, which it isn't uncommon, but there are quite a few. It'll be interesting to see day two here who's back out there and just had to kind of get the day off to get a little nicks and bruises kind of dealt with, because it's that point in the season where everyone's dealing with something. The main ones, I will say, the major concerns, which I would be shocked to see them play, is Sam Emelis. He wasn't even out there. Lake Corte Moore, Aubrey Miller Jr., those are kind of the three main ones that I would not expect out there. And then Zach Fry also still isn't practicing, but as we know with head injuries, you don't want to rush him back. If there's a bye week coming up, you never know how long those take to heal. So we'll wait and see if he's out there again. But a few of the other players like Dell Duncan Busby, C.J. Revis, guys like that, I'm interested to see if they're out there day two or not before I can kind of gauge what their availability might be like for this weekend's game.
Green Zone host Jamie Nye wasn't waiting for today to see what happens. He's already said enough injuries. He's calling Montreal to win this one. Were you surprised by that?
No, not really. Montreal's been a tough place for this team to go to. They haven't won in Montreal since 2021, and even then that was a hard-nosed game. But that trip is always tough for this team. I absolutely get Jamie picking it. I don't know. This Montreal team doesn't really scare me, though. McLeod Bethel-Thompson, yeah, they beat Calgary, but Vern Adams Jr. was hurt. I believe that if VA finished that game, Calgary probably gets out to a pretty good win, actually, probably win by double digits. So without Davis Alexander, something is missing from Montreal, which is why I'm still leaning the Riders, even though, as I mentioned, that is a tough road trip for them to go on.
It's going to be fun. 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. And of course, the Green Zone pregame show starts at 3. Now, I must ask you, too, did Jamie put you up to this, having to go ask quarterback Trevor Harris about what he thinks about using the wave? First and foremost, did Jamie put you up to this?
Jamie and Locker did, yes.
Okay.
They both did.
All right. So Jamie's adamant you don't do the wave when the offense is on the field, and you asked Trevor. Here it is.
Fans can do the wave while you guys on offense.
Heck yeah.
Throw you off.
Heck yeah. But if we do this, I mean, bring the noise down.
Do this. He was using his hands to say, you know, quiet down. And I did detect a sense when you asked that question. I can't believe I'm asking the quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders this, but I will anyhow.
Hey, just the hard-hitting questions that need to get answered on the Green Zone.
All right. Well, then I must ask, what's your take? Does it matter?
I hate the wave as a whole, even when they're on defense. So I'm against the wave. I'm 100% against it. But if it's not affecting the quarterback play, oh, sure. I just don't think you should make any noise while the team's on offense.
My take is, how are you ever going to stop the wave? Once it starts, you can't just stand up and say, everyone stop and be quiet. It's just going to continue anyhow. But
it's a big wave of momentum, isn't it?
Wow. Let's end it there. That was very good. CJME, Rider Reporter, Britton Gray. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Well, between mosquitoes, usually in the evening, being a little irritating, wasps for some have been irritating too. I know, in my backyard, I've been shooing the wasp away a little earlier, it seems, here. And to chat about this, Sean Sherwood from Poulin's Pest Control. Sean, welcome. I'm glad you're here. But I found back in June, I was noticing wasps in my backyard. Have you noticed any pattern change in the wasp population coming out earlier, or is it just me?
We saw a little blip middle of June. Previous to that, it had been very slow. We had a kind of cool, wet spring, and they don't like that very much. And we're not really seeing a whole lot of them right now because, I mean, it was 4 degrees when I got up this morning. They don't like that weather. It really stunts their growth.
Well, come to my place. It looks like there's a nest under the steps. I'll get to that in a second. What attracts wasps to a particular area or property, Sean? And how do you make your home less appealing to them?
Well, early in the spring, usually the start of April, the juvenile queens that have overwintered or hibernated come out and they look for a location to build a nest. It can be underground, it can be under a step, it can be hanging from an eave or in a hedge. They try and find an area where there is going to be no competition and ample food. So those gray fake paper nests that you can buy, if you get one of those up really at the start of April, juvenile queen's going to be flying around and go, oh, this might be a really nice place for me to set up a nest and have lots of food, make lots of babies. And they see another nest sitting there that's the size of a basketball already. They're going to go, we're going to get slaughtered here. I'll move on. But after they've started a nest somewhere, those don't work very well anymore.
How concerning are wasps when it comes to like cracks or, you know, like open areas of your home itself, maybe along the foundation? Do they create, are they like bees? Will they enter or is that a problem?
They will enter and they don't mind building a nest underground or in the crack of your foundation and then they get up into the walls. The bad thing is that then you've got a big nest to deal with over the course of the summer and into the fall. The good thing is that once winter comes, the nest is never reused again. They all die off. So you can either treat it during the summer or fall, or you can just let them die out.
Well, Sean, I'm going to invite you to come over to my house because I feel there's a bit of a wasp problem just under the steps above the front of my home. So here's my plan. I'm going to wait till dark. I'm going to get a can of wasp Raid, and I'm going to wear some sort of a shield, and I'm going to go under there myself and just spray it and run. What do you think?
Well, if it's a gray hanging nest that has a hole at the bottom, if you can aim that blaster right into the opening and fire it and stand in there because they are going to come pouring out at you, then you will succeed. But if it's going into a crack and you can't get at it, you can't see that gray paper nest, you're going to have to do it with a powder instead. The sprays are only active for about 15 minutes. So all you're going to do when you put that into a crack or a crevice is just harvest a few at the surface. Not going to really make much of a dent.
Sounds really dangerous for me, Sean. What would you do?
We would walk in there during the day because we're very experienced, assess the situation, and use the appropriate tool on it, be in and out in about 10 minutes.
Wow, 10 minutes, that's all. Okay, well, that's wasps. And I know it's probably one of the critters you get calls about. What else is happening in Saskatchewan, Sean, that you're getting calls about?
Well, the gopher population has exploded again, and we're doing lots with those. But our number one pest now, Greg, is the German cockroach.
Still.
We're doing three or four of them a day.
I find every time I talk to you, say that's the number one. How come it hasn't gotten any better, the population here? You've been fighting just about every other home, it seems.
Absolutely. And part of the problem is that we just don't have the tools anymore. The chemicals that we have, they're becoming resistant to, and we're not getting any new toys from Ottawa. And I'm not sure what we're going to do except keep fighting the good fight.
Okay. So if someone has spotted these cockroaches, just for identity purposes here, how do they look? What are they? Are they big? Are they small?
They're about 3/4 of an inch long as an adult. The younger ones are obviously smaller than that. They are a light tan color, and they have black markings on the top of them, and they're really, really fast.
And are they coming from my neighbors who might have had a problem, or how do they get into my home?
They're great hitchhikers. They don't live outdoors in Saskatchewan, not even in the summer, so they have to be brought in. Usually in a backpack or a bag of some sort, a lunch kit from, kids going from one site to another. They're great hitchhikers. So you either brought them in from somewhere that you were, or somebody that came to visit you decided to leave you a little welcome.
Thank you so much for all your time and experience. As always, wonderful to talk to you, Sean.
Anytime.